Welcome everyone and call the meeting to order. Anita, if you'll do the roll call for us, please. There you go.
There we go. All right. President Enns.
Here.
Vice President Chivins.
Here.
Director Mafioli.
Here.
Director Lyon.
Here.
Director Lloyd.
Present.
Thank you. Mayor Irons.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Makowetski.
Here.
Councilmember Heading. Councilmember Smuckler.
Here.
Thank you.
Councilmember Heading is on his way. He will be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to introduce our new board member, Carrie Mafioli. Carrie, if you recognize yourself there, thank you. And I'd say through lack of interest in Cayucas, perhaps, no one actually put their name in for the ballot. So thank you, Supervisor Gibson, for appointing Carrie to our board. Are there any announcements from the council or the board?
For the Moore Bay Council, any announcements? Yeah, I think it'd be good to, here we go. Perfect timing. We have Council Member Heading just coming in, so we could introduce our new council members, Council Member John Heading and Council Member Matt Makowetski. If you guys have any announcements or remarks, but welcome.
I'm glad to be here. My apologies. I'm a licensed pharmacist, and I can't lock my doors until 6. And I apologize for being a few minutes late.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any announcements from Cayucas? Seeing none, we'll go directly to public comment. Members of the public wishing to comment on items not on the agenda may do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. We'll go to the consent calendar. Before we do the consent calendar, were there minutes from the previous meeting? We didn't see those on the agenda. Does anyone know?
Rob, any comments?
The minutes weren't complete by the time the pack was ready to go out.
Very good. Thank you, Rob.
Will we be able to approve our minutes at the next meeting, I guess is the question. I think we're okay on that?
That's the plan. We will bring the minutes to the next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent calendar?
Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. President Enns?
Very good. Thank you. Next item, item C1, summary of the information presented and City Council action regarding the WRF at the December 9th, 2014 City Council meeting. Mayor Irons.
And I'll turn that over to Mr. Leibach.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor, Mr. President. We're going to shuffle seats here and get John Rickenbach up here to help us out a little bit. So we have a brief presentation to go through. We'll keep it as brief as possible. As everybody probably knows, the City Council adopted Resolution 77-14 at their last City Council meeting and basically accepted the findings of the final report for new water reclamation facility, comparative site analysis, regional CMC facility versus Rancho Colina, dated December 9th, 2014, and directed staff to move forward on the next steps required to work on that project, facilities master planning and environmental review. Basically, we're going to go over a brief presentation to City Council and the board outlining the items from that meeting. We have Carollo here that will summarize their findings, and then we'll turn it back to the board for any questions. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to John to guide us through his presentation, and we'll probably need a little assistance from AGP to turn the slides. Thank you. John?
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Members of the board, City Council, John Rickenbacken, and today we also have Mike Nunley and Eric Casares here to help you if you have questions that need to be answered. I really want to go briefly through what happened, a little bit what happened at Council, but mostly the technical aspects of this, and really let Eric talk more about those. I do want to talk about the costing and things you'll probably have questions about. I wanted to start here with the city goals. I don't want to linger on this, but I do think it's an important point for the entire basis of the report. We were looking at it from the city's perspective, and these being the goals, including the production of tertiary water, cost-effectively, reclamation, and other potential uses at a new WRF. And from that, the report went. I have maps up here, which we can come back to, of the sites. I don't want to linger on these. You know where the sites are. So go ahead and hit the next couple through. Okay. Since we last met here at JPA, I just wanted to briefly hit on things that have happened for the benefit of those who weren't aware of this. There's been a lot of coordination, both with CSD and the city, but also CDCR, the Department of Corrections, the regional board, and the county, to kind of go through some of the issues that were brought up about a month ago in our draft version of the report to confirm or to refute things that were said more or less that both sites could work, though they did express a preliminary preference for Rancho Colina, which figured into the report as well. And, of course, the Citizens Advisory Committee recommended Rancho Colina, and the council took action in that direction a couple days ago. Briefly, Rancho Colina scored better overall, and there were a lot of issues at CMC logistically, and the cost was higher. As I mentioned, coastal staff, and then the city's five-year goal was more achievable at Rancho Colina, not so much at CMC. And there might be more flexibility in different reclamation options, which we didn't dive into much in our report, but certainly can be explored at this point. This is a chart we presented at City Council the other day just to frame the issues that were discussed in the report, 11 of them that range from cost and water supply benefits, reclamation, timing, logistics, and such. And the theme here, from our perspective, was that Rancho Colina looked much better overall in most respects, or there were similarities, for example, in the ability to acquire outside funding, their relative water supply benefits that could be beneficial in both areas, and the regional benefits. But other than that, especially on logistics and cost, we really saw a clear advantage on the Rancho Colina side. This I want to linger on a little bit because I think it's something that is going to be of interest to everybody in this room. It has to do with costs. And this breaks it out in three different ways, just a quick interpretation of this table. CMC, that's the second column from the left. There are two different cost estimates that go with Rancho Colina, and that's based on the inclusion of CSD in the mix or without CSD in the mix. And keep in mind these are very preliminary costs based on assumptions that were made by Carollo in their report for CMC. And we took their assumptions and applied them to Rancho Colina based on the needs of the facility at that location. And what you can see on the table going across at the top, the first row is the construction capital costs and such, the related costs having to do with getting the facility to reclamation ready. That's what we've been focusing on, and that's the numbers that people have been really focusing on here. And you can see it's estimated $161 million at CMC, less than half of that, between $67 and $74 million at Rancho Colina, depending on the participation of CSD or not. So in other words, a little more than twice as much. Phase two, which is the reclamation, which at CMC you would have had to deal with nitrate issues, which accounts for the $6 million there, assuming that the reclamation was more in line of discharging into the creek and such. Our assumption at Rancho Colina for the purpose of the report was to focus on developing a network that would allow growers to reclaim water for the most part. And the cost of that is upwards of $26 to $28 million to get that network in place at that point. What we didn't really consider, but certainly on the table, is doing other means of reclamation, whether that's direct injection into the ground or perhaps discharge into the creek, though there's no permit that exists for that at this point. So we really didn't opine on the cost of that. I would imagine it's quite different because, of course, you wouldn't house it at $1 million a year, depending on CSD's participation. So you get a feel for what it would mean if CSD did participate in the process at this point. That last row really has to do a theoretical cost of reclaimed water, and that's not really what that's really just a calculation based on if you're trying to recover the cost of the entire project based on the amount of reclaimed water you could produce, a simple division problem, you come up with numbers like this. But for our purposes, we're looking at roughly triple the cost, relative cost of the reclaimed water benefit at CMC compared to Rancho Colina. And you can see how all these would have figured into the council's decision the other day to go toward Rancho Colina. So at this point, actually, why don't you go back one, Nico? Just go back to where we were. We could go to the next steps in the process, but before we get there, actually, at this point, I'd like to introduce Eric Casares, who's going to walk you through a little bit on Corollo's specific report and how they got to where they did and the assumptions that were inherent in that and how that played into the Rancho Colina analysis that Mike Nunley put together. And go ahead and go to the other presentation if you can.
Thank you, John. Mayor Irons, Council, President Innes, Cayucas Board. My name is Eric Casares. I'm with Corollo Engineers. As John mentioned, I'm going to talk a little bit today about the capacity evaluation that we recently completed for CMC. Next slide. Just a quick agenda. I'm not going to take too much of your time here tonight, but the major points I want to hit. First, we're going to start off with a little bit about the evaluation methodology, so the things that we looked at and the way that we approached the analysis that we did. We'll talk a little bit about the anticipated discharge requirements, which is really where we start the process in figuring out what target we're shooting at when we look at what the facility would need to achieve in the future. We'll talk about design criteria a little bit. We'll talk about some of the historical data analysis we did. We'll talk about the biological process modeling that we also did. Up here, we just have a real simple flow chart of what we looked at. We started off, again, the process by looking at the permit requirements and figuring out what are we looking at in terms of the discharge requirements that we would need to meet at CMC and discharging to Choro Creek. We then developed design criteria. We looked at some of the historical data that was available to us from the last couple of years, from about 2011 through 2013. We performed the biological process modeling, which is kind of the first step in looking at the capacity of a facility. And then we followed that up with a hydraulic analysis. So those are kind of the two tools that we use to look at what the true capacity of CMC is as it's currently configured, and then what necessary upgrades would need to be made in order to accept the flow from Morro Bay Cayucas. Again, determine the necessary improvements, and then we develop costs. Next slide. So up here, what we have is a kind of a compilation of a couple of the effluent discharge requirement tables from the CMC MPDS permit. I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. BOD, some of the priority pollutants, BOD, TSS, turbidity, those are pretty, the salinity of the water that would be going in the creek. And the current permit has a discharge requirement of 500 milligrams per liter in the creek for that discharge. Next slide. So then we looked at what would be the design criteria for this facility. Well, we know what the design criteria for the CMC plant when it was upgraded in 2001. It was designed to treat a flow of a maximum peak hour flow of 5.2 MGD. And then the other things that are important to note, we typically are designing a treatment plant based on the maximum month load to the facility in terms of the organic load or the BOD load. That number for the CMC facility is 7,500 pounds per day. And then another interesting thing to note would be the TDS as well. So if you look, really we're talking about the contribution from Warner Bay Cayucas. We're really looking at doubling of the organic load of the CMC facility. So it would be required to handle nearly double the existing load of design load of 7,500 pounds per day. Next slide. So the CMC facility has experienced some historical loading events in excess of that 7,500 pounds per day design criteria over the last several years. On the bottom of that graph up there, we've got time beginning of January 2010 through current time 2014. On that vertical axis there, we have the influent BOD and TSS load. That green line through the center represents the design criteria for the facility, and you'll notice that while the 30-day moving average is kind of staying below that green line, there were times during 2011, 2012, 2013 where the loading to the facility exceeded the design criteria. So really, this gives us an initial indication that the facility does not have additional secondary treatment capacity. Next slide. So we also performed a hydraulic analysis of the facility, which is important to look at. Number one, we can understand the secondary treatment capacity of the facility, what needs to be treated by the oxidation ditches and the clarifiers. We also need to look at the facility, see how much peak flow it can handle, and identify any hydraulic restrictions. So in doing the analysis of the facility, we noted a few things. A couple of them are pretty obvious. We need some hydraulic structures to be able to split the flow between the different facilities, the existing and the new facilities. But one of the things that we identified from the hydraulic analysis was a new pump station within the plant that we would need. And just one thing to note, it was never envisioned when the CMC facility was finished construction in 2001 that it would be the need would to double the capacity of the plant would exist in terms of hydraulic capacity. So it's pretty difficult to try to shoehorn that additional flow into a facility that wasn't necessarily designed to handle it. So things get a little bit tricky from a hydraulic standpoint, and everything can't flow by gravity nice and easy how we would do it if we were designing the facility from scratch. So that's why we needed that pump station, was to kind of overcome those difficult hydraulics. So in terms of the process modeling, real quick, I won't get too much into this, but there are a couple tools that we use when doing the process modeling. First, we look at a state point analysis, and that's essentially what the secondary clarifiers can handle in terms of
I knew that was
going to sabotage. So in terms of the next steps, we now have looked at the process modeling piece. We've identified the number of ditches, number of clarifiers that we need. We've performed the hydraulic analysis to identify the different structures that we need and how we can accommodate the flows to the plant. Kind of the last stage in the process is after we've identified the improvements, we know we need X number of clarifiers, X number of oxidation ditches. What we went through and did is we developed a cost estimates. And we developed those cost estimates in kind of two distinct ways. We were involved with the upgrade of the CMC facility back in 2001. Much of what currently is there, Corolla designed that back in the late 90s. And so we have the engineer's estimates from that original design. We also recently designed an upgrade to their disinfection facility completed back in 2012. So we have those engineer's estimates that we can draw upon, some good kind of apples-to-apples data that we can use to develop unit costs to project the cost for these new facilities that we would need to handle the Morro Bay Cayucas flows. For facilities that were kind of outside of those common processes, we used some quantity takeoffs and developed some costs using those detailed quantity takeoffs for things like the conveyance pipeline necessary to get flow from the Morro Bay site to CMC. We were able to use some planning-level design criteria and some engineering to figure out we need this much pipe and those kinds of things to build some of the cost estimates for those things. And using those two together, we were able to come up with good solid capital cost estimates, and then we applied kind of some industry standard soft cost factors in order to get from a capital cost to a construction cost and then onto the project cost. Next slide. So another thing to note is that the necessary improvements to CMC essentially would double the area that's currently occupied by the existing facility. On this figure that's up there now, you can see up to the very north of the screen, that was the old CMC facility. It was replaced by that first set of the secondary clarifiers and oxidation ditches in 2001. Kind of to the southeast of that is where we have the new facilities that we've determined that we would need to handle the Morro Bay Cayucas flows. You can see the new oxidation ditches there, the three large clarifiers. There's a new UV facility, and then a pretty large, about a 10,000 square foot building that we're showing to house any MFRO equipment as well. Next slide. In addition to the actual improvements at the treatment plant, there's also some substantial infrastructure that's required to simply get the wastewater from the current location, which is the current Morro Bay Cayucas wastewater treatment plant site, to CMC. And up here, I just have the proposed alignment that we used in order to develop the cost for conveying this flow from Morro Bay to CMC. This was an alignment that was provided, a potential alignment that was provided by the city. What we're looking at here is looking at the combined effluent from CMC and from Morro Bay. We determined that we would need roughly a 2.8 million gallon MFRO facility that we would need to treat a portion of the flow during the maximum month in order to reach a TDS of 450 milligrams per liter. Now, earlier I had said that the limit was 500 milligrams per liter. We're looking at a 1.1 factor of safety at this planning level to figure out the rough size of the facility. So that adds a significant cost to the overall project. And then the other piece of it is the brine disposal line. So we would need roughly an 8-inch force main from CMC all the way back to the ocean outfall to dispose of that brine. And it's about a half an MGD of brine at the design flow during the max month. So meeting the TDS requirements require additional treatment not currently used at CMC, so they don't currently utilize microfiltration or reverse osmosis. Next slide. So the cost estimate up here, as John mentioned, it kind of gets back to that $161 million. It really represents all the components necessary for implementation of the project. The first line up at the top in bold is the actual improvements that we need to be made at the CMC facility, which has a capital cost of roughly $51 million, and includes things like the oxidation ditches, the clarifiers, the MFRO facility. You'll see broken out below that are some of the different conveyance facilities, an 8 MGD pump station, preliminarily sited at the existing Morro Bay site. 24-inch raw wastewater force main going up Highway 1 to CMC, and an 8-inch brine disposal pipeline running back to the ocean outfall. You'll see that those have a capital cost of about $12 million. We take that capital cost of $63 million, and we add things to come up to our construction cost. We're adding things like a contingency, a 30% contingency, which is appropriate at this level of cost estimating. General contractor overhead and profit of about 18%. And then we were using a midpoint of construction based on direction from the city of November 2020 at 3 months, 3% annual escalation. We're looking at almost a 20% escalation from now to the time of midpoint of construction. We also add a sales tax of about 3.5%. So that gets us to the $120 million, and then we apply a factor of 35% to get from that $120 million to $161 million. And that 35% is kind of an industry standard and covers things like engineering, not only consultant engineering, planning, design, construction management. It includes things like staff time, administration, and then any legal fees that may be necessary. So with that, I'd like to open it up to any questions.
Thank you, Eric. I first ask Morro Bay if they have some comments. I know you just went through this a couple of days ago, so if you have any additional comments, please do so.
Thanks, President Anz. Morro Bay, any questions? Seeing none, President Anz.
Okay. Cayucas, any questions? Very good. Eric, good job. I would comment that, was it Steve Swanback that gave this report Tuesday night?
That's correct.
And Eric?
The steps that have gone into the report so far, we don't really have anything more to add at this point.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Any comments from Cayucas? Dan?
Hello. There we go. Good. Thank you. Question on the pumping issue. You've got an 800 horsepower, big motor. Would there be any value in considering low flow pumping and maybe in a parallel pipe or a smaller facility? I'm just wondering how you looked at the peaking. That would probably be a peak 800 horsepower.
That 800 horsepower is essentially the way that we looked at it is you make a good point, is the pump station is being asked to do something that's relatively difficult to do, which is to handle the, 1 to 1.5 MGD average flow and even the minimum flows, but then be able to ramp up all the way to 8 MGD during a peak wet weather event. So that 800 horsepower is really 560 horsepower pumps that would come on and off in order to accommodate those different flows. And the way that we looked at that was we would have four pumps at 2 MGD capacity. So we'd be able to meet the peak hour flow with four pumps, and then we have one spare pump, which is a pretty typical design approach.
And so at the moment, the CMC facility does not have an MFRO. For what reason? Because they're discharging to the creek?
Well, they discharged to the creek, and actually I noticed on those slides up there before, kind of flipped two of the numbers, it was the kind of the max month TDS number for Morro Bay versus the max month TDS number for CMC. CMC, their discharge is quite a bit lower in TDS than the data that we had available for Morro Bay Cayucas, and Morro Bay Cayucas was up around 950 milligrams per liter, if I'm not mistaken.
So the difference there is that the quality of their effluent is different than ours?
The quality of their effluent is different, and it directly goes to the quality of the influent. So TDS is one of those things that's typically kind of conserved through a typical treatment process. So whatever you've got coming in, if you don't have a process where you're adding a lot of chemicals or anything else, most of that TDS that's coming in is what's going to go out. So right now, the quality, the TDS that's coming into the existing Morro Bay facility, if that was at 900 milligrams per liter, it's going out at something close to 900 milligrams per liter. It's not really changing.
So really, discharge to the creek is not really an option without treatment, RO?
At this point, yeah, we would say that we would need some type of RO to remove those dissolved solids to be able to discharge to the creek.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Eric. For the benefit of the public, I want to let you know that the reports that we're seeing summarized here amount to probably something like 200 pages, and the letter from the Coastal Commission staff. Rob Livick was kind enough to hand me that at the, what do you call it?
The on the report, and did I understand that the it was $26 million from the proposed plant in up Morro Valley to the farmers, the piping? Because, I mean, that seems, I know typically on a plant like that, if you're sending water to the farmers and that from the plant itself, the farmers usually kick in and, pay the cost from the plant out. But that said, if I understood that comment, that $26 million to, for a couple miles of piping, of farm type piping. Normally, the farmers can do it for $10,000 to $20,000 a mile. But just to point out, if that was a true figure of $26 million, I think that might be way in excess of what it will really cost. And it probably shouldn't cost the city anything, because any ag should pick up the water from the plant, and that should be their cost from there on out. But just a point to see it clarify that. Thank you.
Uh, Bob Keller, Morro Bay. I'm here tonight to ask the Caicos Sanitary District to join Morro Bay in their site location at Rancho Colina. I think it would be a win-win situation for all of us, all the parties concerned. We could have our own regional facility that would include Morro Bay, Caicos, and Rancho Colina. This could be a long-term investment for our Estero Bay. We shouldn't look short-term, but for the long-term advantages that we'll have, we need a plant, whether we build it there, because if we go to CMC, we've got to build a plant there. Our plant is deteriorating and has to be taken care of pretty soon. Anyway, I think this would be an ideal time to make a decision tonight and not delay this any longer, because all it's going to do is going to cause us more time, and time is money. You have to consider that the longer we wait, the more it's going to cost all of us. And if you don't come aboard, we're going to probably go on. But if you come on later, it's going to be very, very expensive to come on aboard. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Susan Heineman, citizen of Morro Bay. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and acknowledge the work done on the sewer project to this point. And I'd like to personally thank Rob Liebeck, Bruce Keough, Mr. Rickenbach, the City Council of Morro Bay for all their work and perseverance. Thank you.
Thank you. Very nice comments. With that, oh, excuse me.
Nancy Bast, Morro Bay. I'm hoping I would ideally like to see Morro Bay construct this plant themselves and have Caicos be a customer of ours for a couple of reasons. The contract between us has always been kind of problematic. And I know, I think I recall that Caicos...
I just want to...
But you have to go stand at this... I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Great. I just want to make clear that that all of the reports that Morro Bay received that were referred to were provided to the CSD staff on the day that we received them. So the initial Corolla report was received by both Morro Bay and the CSD 2 weeks ago, and then the initial cost estimates from Corolla were received late last week by both staffs. The Coastal Commission letter was received last week, in the middle of last week, by both staffs, and the final cost estimates were received on Monday by both staffs.
Any comment? No. Thank you, David. It just takes us a little time to absorb. You know, it's something that Morro Bay has been working on for quite a while, and we'll catch up with you here soon. Mayor Irons, you had a couple comments from Morro Bay.
I think I just wanted to cover one more comment that Mr. Buckingham made as well. Part of the process for Morro Bay, as explained, we got our final reports and we shared them with Caicos as well. But leading up to that, maybe Rob, you can explain. We had several of these reports that were coming to council as we were coming up to this final report. And the Cleve study and several of the studies that came to us leading up to this. So there's parts of this overall report that Morro Bay has been receiving these reports with our updates on the WRF, and just wanted you to talk through that, you know, over the last few months coming up to this final report.
Since this was such a daunting task, we decided that it wouldn't be a good idea to deliver the entire technical study all in one. This is how thick it is, by the way. It's double-sided, so it is a couple inches thick, and it's a lot to digest. Didn't want to deliver it all on the day before the council meeting and expect anybody to figure out what all this meant. So we brought some of the technical studies, for example, discharge requirements through that Larry Walker and Associates helped perform. They looked at both potential discharge locations and gave us input on what the impacts to discharge would be. We looked at funding options with Kestrel Consulting, and those reports are also in here as appendices. And then Cleith Harris Associates walked us through a very riveting presentation on groundwater hydrology that I'm ready to go back to school. I was so excited by it. Anyway, we saw that a few weeks before council making the final decision. And those reports, you know, are available on the city's website. But they're also a part of this final package. So, yes, we have had a while for the Morro Bay City Council to digest all this information.
Thanks, Rob. And just looking at our WRF status update report, you know, just looking at them as we go up until this final report. So I just wanted to echo that. At this point, are there any more? Just wanted to see if there are any comments from our board, if you'd so be so inclined.
From the council. Okay,
yeah. Anybody from the council have any comments at this point? Matt, none. Noah, John, Christine?
Thank you. Any additional comments from Cayucas? No, I just would, I did not mean to imply that you hadn't supplied the information to us. It's just that we haven't had a chance to absorb a lot of it, and we'll get busy doing that. Thank you. The recommendation here is to receive and file, Jim Carmel, do we need to motion that, or is that considered done?
We usually just accept it. I don't think any motion's necessary.
Okay. With that, we will continue to item C2. And for the public's interest here, we have two items on that. One would be to have each agency staff work cooperatively in the development of a request for proposal. And the other item is reaffirming that the previous direction stated in November 13th JPA meeting is still desired. So we'll take items C2, number one, first, each agency staff to work cooperatively in the development of a request for proposal. Rob Leivick, do you want to open that for us, please?
Thank you, President Enns. The staff report is basically prepared to give direction to staff on where we want to go from here. And if we're taking the next steps involved, a couple of the next steps involved for the joint body to look at, or the two agencies to look at, would be preparation of a facilities master plan and initiation of an environmental document. There's a few sub-step steps. We have to finish our MOU with the property owner to make sure that we have agreement on looking at that site. But the next steps involved would be that. To get to that step, there's something in the other item that we also need to talk about is that if we look to item number listed as item number 7 regarding governance, the existing JPA doesn't anticipate a future site at some other location. So we need to execute some sort of agreement that talks about roles and responsibilities of each body and how we're going to share costs for that. So with that, I will turn it back to the City Council and the Sanitary District Board for discussion and direction.
Thank you, Rob. Before we have it sent to our board, I'd ask our general manager any comments.
No, we talked about it at staff level, and the first thing on number one would be to get out a request for proposals. So to work
for item 7, I just was wondering, it looks like that's the Morro Bay's legal counsel's analysis, so I wanted to ask
the CSD's legal counsel, his analysis on that comment, if I could, please.
I think it's a little premature to be talking about governance. We really haven't made complete decisions with regard to siting. Certainly when we endeavor to actually contract with something, we're going to need to sort out how we're going to pay for it beforehand. But I believe at this point we could probably do it on a case-by-case basis. I think certainly the overall structure will need to be identified and fleshed out at some point in time, but I'm not sure it's critical at this point in time.
And the document that I was referring to was not a try to rewrite the overall agreement, but an MOU to deal with just this portion of it. So just to be clear, I probably wasn't clear the first time I stated that, was not to try to write the entire document.
No, I think we understood that, Rob.
Okay, thank you.
Since we did that last time, we had an understanding about, as we go forward, what portion does Cayucas pay, how do we work together. So we'll get to that item soon. I'd like anyone else?
I'm sorry. I did have a few more. And I actually want apologies. Thank you, President Enns. I would like to follow up just a little bit more than on the legal side. So with both legal counsel and staff advice, then I see that on the agenda tonight, then our item is to move forward with create an RFP process. And I would like to know is, are we even able to do that jointly at this moment without some sort of agreement letter moving forward? Because my understanding, you know, and please educate me, we're here tonight because we have an existing plant on Atascadero Road. So I'm not sure where our responsibility as this joint body ends and then where something else would have to be created moving forward with any sort of a joint action that has us working together in the same room, RFPing, for a lack of a better term.
I don't think it's a joint action. I think it's each body taking individual actions. So each body could direct their staffs to work on an RFP, and simultaneously or concurrently, we could be working on some sort of agreement regarding roles and responsibilities and cost sharing, I think.
With regard to the facilities master plan itself?
Facilities master plan, RFP for facilities master plan.
Yeah, I'm assuming at this level, you're paying for your staff and we're paying for our staff. And at that point, at the point in time we have an RFP in our hands, we're making decisions, we're probably going to have to determine how we're going to allocate costs. I don't think that decision needs to be made tonight.
Okay, great. Thank you. One more. We're talking about moving forward, in the past, the council has had one or two representatives on the RFP process. I think when we hired Mr. Rickenbach, we did have two members from the council, I believe, selected by the council to help narrow down the respondents with the staff. I personally felt that involvement. I was on that review team with the mayor, I believe.
Council and board members on that RFP review committee. So I think that we need direction to work on the RFP. We'll bring that back to our two bodies, either jointly or separately, and then we will receive, get approval, advertise, and then go through the selection process.
Okay, great. And then I don't know, we also have our WRF Citizens Committee too, which would be potential folks who might want to be involved rather than council member. But of course, they were appointed by the Morro Bay Council, and they, so I would just make a note of that. It's really this, I know, I understand this is preliminary and I appreciate it, but I don't want to forget to mention it. And then the last thing is a question I just don't know, have enough information on. When we're talking about facilities master planning consultant, would be two RFPs, or would there be a consultant that would do the facilities master plan as well as would also have environmental expertise, or would it be two separate consultants?
Two. I don't think there's anybody out there that would want to take on both, nor that we would want to take on both of those.
Okay.
It's two separate jobs.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you. Appreciate the time for the questions.
I have one more question before I pass it off, and that is in regard to item number one that we were just talking about as far as each agency and staff working cooperatively together. And I guess the question in in some of the cases in which Morro Bay is taking action, we've often made resolutions, kind of that letter of intent on how we're crafting that. And I wonder if it would be so prudent to basically come back at a later meeting with a letter of intent by both bodies on how we want to move forward. And, because right now, as I heard Mr. Kuhn says, yes, we intend on working together, but either by motion tonight stating that, each agency and staff are directing each other to work together through this RFP process, or we get into a statement of a letter of intent on how the two boards are going to be doing that. And I guess that's a question, and maybe Rob, you can, or John can talk about that. And then maybe we can have Tim or Rick as well.
I viewed that as we would be bringing back some form of an MOU to get us through this next little bit of work that we're going to be doing. And that would serve as the agreement between the two different boards on what the roles and responsibilities and the cost sharing would be.
Okay. Any comments from Cayucas?
Yeah, Rob, you mentioned before, and I would ask the Cayucas board at least as a consent that we work with our staff, work with the Morro Bay staff to develop the RFPs for the facility master plan and the environmental review. We'll pay for our staff, as Rob says, you pay for yours. And once we see those and we see the values, then we will need to sit down and write some kind of an MOU on who's going to pay for which portion of those expenses when they come up, and we will do that. We okay there, Tim?
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you.
Do we want to open it for public comment after questions? Or
sure.
Well, I don't know.
I'll ask John. He's the planner in the room, so we can get concurrence from John. But lead agency status, that's really set up in CEQA about who the lead agency and the agency that's undertaking the process that has the authority to execute a environmental document would be the lead agency, even if it's outside of the jurisdiction of that lead agency. And I'll see if I got it right when John answers.
Of course, there's no guarantee that I've got it right either, but, I'll wear the planner hat. It really, my take on it is right now none of it's known, but my guess would be from a professional standpoint, the type of environmental review we're talking about, if on the CEQA side, it's likely an EIR. If there's federal funding involved, you're going to have to deal with NEPA. If I were to make a recommendation theoretically on how to deal with NEPA and CEQA together, there's two ways to do it, really. There's several ways, but two ways it might work. One is either the joint EIR-EA environmental assessment approach. An EA is analogous to an initial study under CEQA, and you have one document, the EIR, that covers CEQA and NEPA. The other is what's called a CEQA plus approach, which is a way within the framework of both laws to allow them to be combined in a way that makes sense to streamline it to some extent. But you're still talking about a big document any way you look at it. In terms of the lead agency at the end of the day, if Morro Bay and the CSD are participating together, you can make a decision jointly on who would take the lead on that. It could be the city, could be CSD, it could be an entity if you created an actual formal JPA that has legal standing by itself, that could be the lead agency. It wouldn't likely be anybody else. It wouldn't be other what you call responsible agencies who have jurisdiction over different resources such as the Army Corps of Engineers or Fish and Wildlife or Caltrans or any number of other agencies. They would certainly have a role in this, but it would really be it comes out of whatever framework you will determine amongst yourselves whether there's actually an authority called MBCSD or one of the two of you will have to make the decision on who the lead agency to go forward on this would be.
Okay, thank you. The point I guess I was making regarding this is generally you'd start at a project and identify what some of the constraints may be, sort of a lower level evaluation. I think an initial study is very similar to that. So perhaps the initial study would be an appropriate level of review. But like you're saying, it could get pretty deep and pretty thick. Obviously, based on the comments that I heard at your technical advisory committee group, I'd be concerned about the archaeology. I'd be concerned about, you know, other issues that have been brought up. So I think that's kind of important. And I would think bringing it back to the JPA with a pretty clean idea of how we want to proceed on that environmental review would be helpful. You know, from it also sets the expectation level as to what we're going to get out of it.
Right. And what could be, you know, this is a process that we're in new ground here, which I think we have to figure is going to be an iterative process. I do think to get to that point, you know, there's whether you bring an environmental consultant in right now to do some of the preliminary work.
Make John, I think there's a little hand and glove process that we're going to need to go through initially so that we don't get too far down the road before we perhaps find something that is significant that gives us cause for pause. Thank you.
Any comments?
No, go ahead.
It occurred to me that this Rancho Colina site is in the county of San Luis Obispo and not in the city of Morro Bay. Given that, and that we have Supervisor Gibson here, if you would, Ruth, care to come up and contribute a little bit about how the county may be involved in this process as we go forward.
You're not talking about money, are you? No. When you say contribute, personally or organizationally, I am Bruce Gibson, for the record, the 2nd District County Supervisor, and I appreciate the conversation that we're hearing here. As I always do when I talk about this project, I'll issue my disclaimer. The 10 of you sitting here have the authority and the responsibility for this project. I don't have formal standing here, and I am here to help and provide resources from the county to whatever extent makes sense for you all in getting this moving forward. You know, you are two small jurisdictions taking on an enormous project, and you're right at the start of an eye-opening and mind-expanding experience. This is a big deal to put in infrastructure that's of this size. So. So in general, the general frame here is the county has been down this road. We are in the middle of going down this road across the bay in Los Osos. We have learned a few things, and you know, I'm happy, and I have been consulting with both your elected boards and occasionally your staff on some of the things that make sense. I would, if I might, just offer you a couple of general observations right now, and then I, you know, if asked, can at whatever point, publicly or privately, can offer you more details. One of them is that given the size of this project and the size of your jurisdictions, I think it's absolutely fundamentally important that you work together closely. Any decision about this project should be a decision that is supported by both boards, and it should be structured that way. The work effort as you head toward the defining of more and more detail should absolutely be a joint decision. And I am not familiar with the legal standing of this JPA, and I'm given to understand from overhearing some legal conversation that you may not have formal standing that other JPAs have. But to me, the legal structure, the nature of MOUs exchange and all those things are not as important as the will to move forward together, because I think that's a fundamental assumption I have about this project. I think the other thing that's going to be useful for you is focus, laser focus on specifically the project that you need to develop. You have a wastewater plant that needs replacing. You have an ocean outfall, which is a resource in this instance. You have great ideas and dreams for the future, but I think it's going to be very important for you to focus on what it's going to take to solve the problem that you're set here to do. And that's going to help to be suggesting in any way, shape, or form that you're selling your ratepayers something that they don't need or something that you know is more than they need. It is truly about keeping the public informed at every step of the way, and the clarity with which you talk about the cost estimates and your certainty or uncertainty about those, for instance, and how you break them down into a monthly cost for an average ratepayer, including the ongoing operations, is a really important concept for the public. And then finally, timeliness is going to be important. The sense that you have an idea of how long different stages of this project are going to take, that you have mapped out the entirety of those steps and can go to the public and say, check, we're here. And as we get down the line, as you all get down the line, your ability to refine then the cost, because, I don't have to tell any elected official that the constituent cares about what this is going to cost them at the end of the day. That clarity of communication is really important. Clarity of communication also really important with the many, many agencies that you deal with. And, I would well exceed, if I was only given 3 minutes, I would exceed it naming off the different agencies that are going to have a regulatory role or an important role in this project. So, I think you're absolutely at the right stage. It sounds like you're headed in the right direction. Again, let me reiterate my interest in helping. This project is in the unincorporated area of the county. At this point, it would be being constructed, permitted under our local coastal program. We again have experience with how we get that through the process that's almost certainly going to end up in front of a hearing, a hearing in front of the Coastal Commission. But I have not read that letter, but the summary of the letter from the Coastal Commission that I see sounds very promising, and I think we can see good cooperation will lead to a good result in that complex and sometimes frustrating experience. So, again, I remain at your service for whatever I can do.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate your comments. Any other additional questions from the board or the council? If not, did we? I thought we did.
We haven't done public comment yet.
Okay. Public comment on this item. This is item C2-1. Bill?
Yeah, Bill Martini again. Just one, and that was when Bruce was talking about costs. I believe when the other night that we were talking, we have a current sewer bill in Morro Bay, or the wastewater treatment bill, of about $44 or $45 a month. And then the new plant, I think we figured, $1 per million, it was coming out anywhere $60, $70. My question, and then it added up, you add up the two, and that's going to be your bill in the future. My thought was, if the current plant is not running, you're not having to pay for it, would that $44 go away and your real cost is $60 plus maybe operating costs as opposed to taking the current bill? Because we're building.
Determining what the additional rates would be. That's not probably what the rate is going to be, but it gives us a good order of magnitude for the rate, and it works for Morro Bay. It may not work for every community. It just happens that the population numbers feed in there, and it works out. So if we're looking at a project, it's a $74 million project, and we're partners with Cayucas, and we're looking at, two-thirds Morro Bay, one-third Cayucas. So we're looking about $50 a month. $50 million Morro Bay share construction costs added to the existing $44, so $95, $100 a month estimated order of magnitude sewer bill. We're paying for operations at the existing plant, but we're also going to have to pay for operations at the new plant. So that number just kind of slides over. We're paying for maintenance of our collection system. That doesn't get to go away as we build the plant. And we're building a capital reserve, and we'll have to have debt coverage ratios for any new facilities. So I think it's premature to get into the details of what the rates are. This gives kind of an order of magnitude of what the typical residential rate might be rather than what the precise rate is.
All right. I was out of line there. I wanted to finish public comment first, so thank you for that response. Bob?
Bob Keller, Morro Bay. I'm assuming that you, the board from Cayucas, is trying to delay this project to join Morro Bay tonight. Is this right? Because anyway, I feel that we have to make a decision tonight to move forward with this project. I remember Los Osos delayed, and it cost them an arm and a leg in the end. Anyway, to me, it just makes common sense. We have a site that has the best possibilities, most cost-effective. We could be joint and have a regional facility. We have to make a commitment. We just can't keep going on and procrastinating because it's got to be done. We got to build a plant. And I just feel this is why I'm here tonight, because I thought we were going to make a decision to join together and move on with this project. Because I'll tell you, time is of the essence. If you don't realize, every minute that goes by is going to cost us more. And if Cayuga doesn't want to join us, then I suggest we go alone on this project. And if they get come on board later, then I don't know what could happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. I'd like to just make one comment on behalf of the Cayucas Board. Our rate per million is $2.50 for every million. We have one-third the population that you have, so you do the math, but it's $2.50 on this side of the room. Mayor Irons, any comments?
Yeah, pardon me. I think I just wanted to reiterate why we might be discussing roughly $1 per million at this point. It's important that we get that nailed down to a little bit more precise cost for our ratepayers and break it out into what those costs mean. So thanks for your comments.
Comments from Cayucas Board? Any others from Morro Bay? I just would make one comment that we are doing our best to move forward. We've certainly put ourselves forward here to start on the RFPs for the facility master plan, the environmental review, and we look forward to working with Morro Bay on those items. The other item we wanted to discuss tonight under C2 was reaffirming that the previous direction stated in November 13th JPA meeting is still desired, and I believe that was to work cooperatively. Is that the decision we're referring to?
We had 7 items that were addressed at the last JPA meeting, and I've listed those and kind of their status where they sit right now in the staff report. So CMC tour done. Discussion of community goals. I think we've gone through that from the Morro Bay side. We've asked about Coastal Commission concerns. We've received a letter from them, and it's quoted in here. We've started on an MOU between the city and the Rancho Colina property owner. We have not made any progress with setting up any meetings with the Native American representatives and going through the report with them. We have prepared a memo, which is part of these reports, prepared by Mike Nunley, regarding the CMC framework for developing a regional facility at their site and what it would take to go through the state process. And they have concurred with that analysis. Direction to commence start for governance. We haven't really done that, but I think the first step is probably take it a little bit a baby step here and work on as we move forward with the RFPs to work on a MOU as to how we're going to, once those RFPs are accepted and we get those consultants on board, how we're going to show those costs and what our roles and responsibilities are in reviewing that. And Dave wants to say something here. So,
are you done?
Never.
He was done. So, President, I think the answer is yes. That you asked, was this referring to the commitment decision to work together going forward? That's exactly what this refers to. And Rob just ran down the seven items. Six of them are essentially either pretty complete or perhaps no longer necessarily relevant. This body might work together going forward, specifically in an MOU to develop the facilities master plan and more broadly begin to put some meat, or at least find the bones so we can put the meat on them for how we'd work together over the long term if that's something that that both groups choose to do. And that goes to citizen involvement, how we would have community meetings, and everything that we want to do to work together to come to an appropriate decision on long term how we see this going, so that you can decide on it.
Very good. We did this before when we went through this process before, and I think it really boiled down to how much is Cayucas going to pay of the total cost, and we based that on flow for the new plant. And so it turned out to be a very simple process. We just agreed how much to pay and used this body as our forum to do business. But I had a simple question here on number four, where we're talking about doing an MOU between the city and Rancho Colina property owner. Is that something that we want to do cooperatively? Would you expect our staff to be a part of that, or is that something you would do independently?
We have started that work with our city attorney, and we will share that information with your legal counsel.
Okay, is that something where you would want our legal counsel to participate in the discussions with Mr. McElvain?
I think we're probably not to the point of discussions yet. We're looking at the framework of the Mr. McElvain and I met, and we put our wants and wishes onto a bulleted list, and I asked our city attorney to basically put that in the format of an MOU and tell us what we were missing from it.
Okay. Well, we look forward to working with you on that item, as well as item number seven. Any questions from Cayucas on those items?
I have a couple of comments. Number one, I think it's imperative that we sit down with Mr. McElvain and get this hammered out as soon as possible. I would even perhaps prefer to go into escrow with contingencies identified, that certainly that if we found fatal flaws, if something just didn't work, that we'd be able to extract ourselves from that. But I really wouldn't want to go out too far on a facilities master planning process, environmental review, without having the arrangement with Mr. McElvain tied up. I think that's really important. Number one, just to address some of the concerns of the public. Number one, we're fully committed to working on an RFP with you folks regarding the facilities master plan. Definitely very interested in defining the environmental review process going forward, looking at it in somewhat of the incremental process as we start to get into it, is then defining if we're going to be hiring individual environmental consultants to do such things as cultural resources and or biological materials. I think it's imperative that we begin to work on a relationship regarding cost sharing going forward. And I think it's going to cost. So I think that going forward, I think we have a number of things to work on, but those are probably paramount in my mind. Otherwise, I'm ready to get going.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Any public comment on this item, C2-2? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any comments from Morro Bay?
I think there are some comments, and I just wanted to add one remark from Supervisor Gibson, and I just wanted to echo something. We're entering a mind-opening experience at the beginning. I just wanted to say I thought we had already entered a mind-opening experience over the last 2 years. So thanks for opening our eyes. Thanks for opening our eyes to the next step. So there's something more to look forward to and get excited about. So I just thought I'd open with that and turn to my right. It looks like we've got Noah who wants to start off with some questions or comments.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to focus in on some of the things that we've talked about tonight and that I was thinking about coming into this for the next steps and particularly for our next meeting. And I'll just run through those. Many of those have already been said. But that governance framework, I think we need to start that conversation and to see some intent there tonight is really good. And I'm glad we're going to be making those motions that are suggested here. And coming back then at the next meeting with an outline of some framework and discussion. And I think we can all commit to the idea of equitability in the final decision of how this is shared. And there's going to be some details in there that we're going to need to look at from both of our perspectives. But that will be a standard that both of our communities will hold ourselves to. So I'm perfectly comfortable with that. And I think our staff heard the idea for a draft letter of intent, and we can have that to look at next time. The facilities master plan RFP update and just laying out the next steps of how we could approach that and how that would be rolled out. We haven't really had a chance yet to confirm the goals of the project from the Universal side, a cooperative side. From Morro Bay's work plan, we came up with some things based on community process. It would be good to touch base on those and see what we can do to actually align as much as possible on that. And I think some conversation to that at the next meeting would be appropriate. The other thing that I think we can build off of that was put already into play is a draft work schedule and project outline of these next steps. We have one existing that Mr. Rickenbach was able to put together. We should visit that as a body just to take a look at and particularly earmarking the first steps that we're talking about here into that and start to actually come up with the idea of that first year. You know, what are these next hurdles that we're going to be crossing and make sure that we're ahead of ourselves on things that are going to take a little more time. Obviously, I do agree with Mr. Lloyd. Working with Mr. McElvain and Rancho Colina, I'm glad that, Rob, you've already initiated that process. It's going to be really nice to start to get those outlined. And the things that I've heard are actually very exciting about how cooperative Mr. McElvain wants to be. And the idea of a win-win for parties here is a very strong and obvious component.
I definitely think at least a few shared goals. Obviously, we're going to have some goals that we don't have in common. There'll be some things that just don't fit for our communities. But, you know, 1, 2, 3 shared goals, I think that would make a lot of sense. And that would also speak to the public relations, for a better term, community relations. How about we say that, Bruce? Community relations, because then we can go back to each of our communities and say, well, this is why it makes sense for us to do this together. So I think that would be a great opportunity for us to do so by creating goals. So I guess I don't know if we have to do that as a future agenda item, or does staff kind of hear that yes, goal action will be important?
I get the feeling, Rob, I get the feeling that all these comments and some of the comments from Mr. Buckingham included that, and that's what we'd be coming back at our next JPA meeting to discuss the framework in which Mr. Buckingham was describing, and these comments from Noah, Christine, actually myself too, as far as goals and shared goals and how we'd go about that. Maybe not actually talking about the goals, but at least what are the steps to get to shared goals?
Yes, and we'll work with CSD staff on putting that agenda together.
Okay, great. So we don't have to make that special effort. At a future agenda item, we don't have to come back and list all these things again at the end of our meeting.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Because I hear the wind every once in a while outside, so I think so we're pushing ourselves along, which I think is a great thing. We need the big wind tonight. We need a big push to get moving today. Where do I tell my Cayucas friends to go for information? I thought about when Mr. Lloyd was talking about communicating with our communities, it's really easy to tell everybody in Morro Bay where to go. They can be directed to our website for all of this information. But I'm wondering, I'm sorry, I haven't ever Googled it. I'm not really sure for the CSD if you have a website or what information is. So would you post things there? And because, you know what, I see a lot of Cayucas people here and there.
Yeah, what we've done for the last project is we actually, on our website, CayucasSanitaryDistrict.org, is we put a link to the Morro Bay page. So it was all the same information to make sure we had everything complete, and we intend to do the same.
Oh, okay, fantastic, yeah, because I think that's key, and I'm glad we're talking about those kinds of things tonight. And then the other thing I mean, this is really a little scary, I'm asking, but when Mr. Gibson was talking about the magnitude of the project, it's a good fortune for us that we don't have to do as much as is happening in Los Osos. We do have our sewer lines, and that's a great, that's a blessing. But I'm wondering, just for the, moving forward, we already are currently operating jointly a plant, and at some point we built this plant many, many decades ago. So I think that when I'm thinking about it, we're currently doing, we're more or less replicating what we've done in terms of flow, but I want to just get that kind of confirmed. But then, of course, we have I think where we are going to be into brand new territory, and it's advice well taken from, you know, what the county's experiencing in its project in Los Osos, is we're going to have this recycling component that's going to add a lot, and some other maybe different kind of discharge moving forward. But just essentially, we are building the order of magnitude. How much larger do we anticipate the facility is going to be? Thanks.
Larger in site area, attached biofiltration. I was going to go into a wastewater 101 discussion, but I'll not do that.
I hear the wind, Rob.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, about the same size.
Right. So
probably about the same amount of staff.
Okay.
And then Dave wants to mention something regarding site and environmental.
Okay, thanks.
So this just goes to some of the good discussion about working with Mr. McIlvain, potentially even entering escrow before as soon as possible. So I think it's important to note that nowhere in what we're doing tonight have we said we've made a decision where we're going to build a water reclamation facility. We're expressing a preference right now, apparently, for Rancho Colina. But before we make any decisions, we need to do the environmental review. It would be inappropriate to make any noises at all that sound like a decision before we've done the appropriate environmental work. So I just want to make that clear. That said, there are ways to structure a long-term escrow that would allow us to enter escrow before the environmental review is complete. It would have to have some very clear walk-away, no-cost clauses. But just for the public record, it's important to note that nobody here right now is saying we've decided where we're going. What we believe we're saying is we think we've got, we were expressing a preference for one location, and the next thing to do is to make sure that it's environmentally appropriate site before we go any further.
And then I wanted to add one thing about rates, because we've mentioned that a couple of times. Just remind the council and the public, we have a sewer and water rate study underway. Mm-hmm. We engaged the services of Bartle Wells, and they'll be rolling that out to our Public Works Advisory Board at a special meeting in January, followed by a council workshop following on to that, and then council hearings to actually approve those rates. So, and then followed up with a Prop 218 process before any rates would be imposed. So we will be going through a detailed rate analysis this year.
Thanks for that, Rob. And I have some comments, but Supervisor Gibson, you had some remarks you might want to add?
I just wanted to clarify my comment. When I talk about the magnitude of the project you're about to embark on, it's not so much about the physical scale of this plant, but the fact of the previous plant being built in a wholly different world in terms of the interagency coordination, your post Prop 218 now. I think you're probably pre-Prop 13 on the construction of first plant. And so that's where the magnitude comes in. Closing thought on the question of websites, I would suggest this body create a website devoted to this project where a common source of information would be found.
Thank you. So before we shift over, I just want to, it seems like a lot of the comments have already been taken, so thanks. But no, that's fine. But I think we did cover some of the issues and goals.
You know, if I really kind of believe that in a sense, you know, we've identified a preference. Yes, we need to get into environmental review. It's almost like what comes first, the chicken or the egg here. Some sort of an agreement with Mr. McElvain is still priority. And yes, in all the correct language, and he understands that. He's not a novice in this world either. But I want to go back again just to reiterate this issue. On the cost, you're doing a rate study. Are you going to be doing a rate study, Rob, that's going to anticipate some form of future cost to start collecting monies today in anticipation of the construction of a new facility for you folks, for us?
That's been the recommendation of our rate consultant, that we need the rates pointed in that right direction. We may not know what the exact target number is, but we need the rates pointed in that direction to make that target when we need the rates in place to qualify for SRF funding.
Good. I think that's real smart and prudent. Thank you.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just didn't want you to close. We just have one more question from one of our council members, John Heading.
Oh, great. Thank you. Regarding the agenda item C2 from what appears to be our new business, reaffirming that the previous direction stated at the November 13th, 2014 JPA meeting is still desired, being new to our city council, literally 2 days, I wonder if I could get clarification as to exactly what that is and what that means, and if indeed we can reaffirm that previous direction that was stated, whatever it may well be. So, President Enns, or?
Well said, and if I could.
I think that's what Rob was referring to, or David, those 7 items that are on our staff report on C2. And as David Buckingham said, some of them have fallen off the list. Some of them are there to do, specifically the MOU with Rancho Colima and the discussions regarding how to go forward. But if your staff would like to elaborate on those for John, that would be fine.
Rob?
What President Enns said is exactly correct. So at that last meeting, we received direction on these 7 items on where we're moving forward. And I have a little update on each one of them. But the crux of the of where we need to move forward is the working together part, and the governance is really the important issue that is the remaining item there is how are we going to move forward together, and that's item number 7 on the list is
call it function follows form, and I think I hear you saying that specifically, Mr. Buckingham, and so in the absence of that form right now, it would be important for me to hear collectively from the leadership from both entities where we are in the absence of a new form in the context of a current form that exists, and what we can do to move forward with the pieces that have been outlined and discussed this evening, and can that move expeditiously under the old form before a new form is developed, if that makes sense? Or do we stop and wait until a next meeting to get a new form to move forward at all with regard to anything, if that makes any sense?
No, I think in addition, I think your parallelism questions with John.
Yeah, I can understand probably Matt and Carrie and John's concern with the item number two there, reaffirming that previous direction stated, because there are a number of items here that are no longer needed, and so I think trying to work off of this entire list is just confusing, actually. And what I was going to suggest was that if Mr. Livick could just briefly review the items that we've talked about so far that you've kind of gleaned from all our conversation that we'd like to see coming back at the next meeting, that could probably get us stabilized in a new form for our expectations for the next meeting. You know, what items are we looking forward to then working on and directing our staff at this meeting to work cooperatively to get there and that intent?
And if I may, there's probably some items as staff works together that's not on this list at all and it's not discussed tonight that's going to come up that we need to bring back to. So I would think that item number four on the list, item number seven are important, and then anything else that comes up as we go through this.
Rob, do you want to? Can you go over that briefly with us and just knock them out?
I'll try to be brief.
Thanks. I think
I don't know how much we do. We need to, or maybe we can perhaps talk with Councilperson Heading and Makowetski offline to talk about the existing agreement and how that works, and bring them up to speed on the existing governance. And what that relates to at the existing facility, rather than, we can go through that here, but I would not suggest that.
Is that what I'm asking? Yeah. I guess what I'm asking is this simply. I'll make it real simple. I was trying to be fancy by saying form and function. I apologize. Given the context of the JPA and how it exists now legally, what can we do? With regard to this project, or do we stop?
Permit, construct, and build that new plant. What we're proposing to bring forward to the two boards is... Thank you.
Thank you.
is the RFP, draft RFPs for a... facilities master plan and the initiation of environmental review. That's one of the items that we'll be bringing forward. We will be bringing forward a item on the how we will be jointly funding that and what the responsibilities of each agency is, whether that's in MOU form. We'll work with our respective legal counsels as to what form that needs to take. I also heard that you would like to have a discussion item to go over what the joint goals are for this new vision of a project somewhere, maybe at Rancho Colina. So we would be bringing that forward. We need to bring forward a draft work schedule and those critical first year items that need to be
milestones
worked out in that first year. Sorry, my brain just stopped working for a second there. And then we also need to bring forward draft agreement for the Rancho Kalina property and how we might enter into some form of formal agreement with Mr. McElvain. Those are the items that I have on my list.
And that covers what I had. And then my sense is then, being new, that can be done within the context of the current form or function of this JPA.
It's really not a JPA. I mean, it's not a joint powers authority. We are not one body. I think Tim wants to say something.
I don't, but the joint powers agreement we have now only deals with operation and maintenance of the existing power plant. We have no other framework for governance. We really just try to move through it as we have been. So I think that may answer your question.
So then basically this is done by us at our cost, is what you're saying.
Each body can still give direction to their own staffs on what they want to have done. I think it only becomes an issue when we engage the services of outside resources.
Okay. Thank you.
So we are going to work together to bring to you jointly an MOU or something that will allow
us together, and then we're moving on and maybe the new joint powers agreement or joint powers agreement or MOU, but okay. We're good. I think we got through that. Thanks.
We're good. For the sake of that, John, I'd like to explain that as we did this last time, we work together as this body jointly, as we do, and we agreed that Cayucos would need 28.5% of the capacity in the new plant, and so we agreed to pay 28.5% of all monies that were spent looking at the new site, new plant, the design, the whole thing. But we pay by flow on the existing treatment plant. So we would get two different bills, one for work on the new plant at 28.5% and one for the existing plant at whatever the flow was for that time period. So it worked out quite well, and we just used this body as the organization to keep it moving forward.
Fine. Thank you, President Enns. I appreciate it.
Very good. Any other comments, Mayor Arms?
I think we're concluded. I think we can, excuse me, are you signaling for one more comment there, Rob?
I see Mr. McElvain standing up there, and he's probably asking if you'll entertain reopening public comment, so he might make it. We've talked all about him tonight, I think he's that's what I saw out of the corner of my eye.
Mr. McElvain, would you like to say a few words?
Steve McElvain, for the record, I am the owner of the Rancho Kalina property. Since my name was brought up, I think one of the reasons that the Morro Bay City Council is a little more comfortable with a discussion of Rancho Kalina is every member of the council has had an opportunity to see the project. They've been on the site, and we've had a chance to look at the advantages and disadvantages. You have a new member. I had made an offer for the CSD to come out and take a look at the process. I would offer that again for the board if you want to do that. Obviously, it's going to be raining next week all lake long. So at some time in the future, if you'd like to see the property so you see something other than a circle on a map of something that's outside of the Morro Bay area, you know, you can see it from the highway, but it's a whole different process when you get actually on the site. So I'd like to offer that again. Now, we have the attorneys working on MOUs, and we have the city manager talking about escrows and all the rest. What I've told the public works director is now that Morro Bay has made that decision, that property is available to the Morro Bay or whoever else is going to be looking at that immediately. If they want to go out and do core samples or find out there's an Aztec temple buried in that thing so that, like you say, there's a fatal flaw, that you can do that without spending a dime on the property. There's no down payments involved. There's nothing that's going to tie anything up. I'm here to make this project work. And whatever structure you want to make that work in, that's fine with me. I just want to, if it's going to be on my property, I want it to be a successful project. If there's a fatal flaw because of cultural resources coming up there and it's going to have to change, you're going to have to move to a different site, that's fine too.
To save you from being poked.
We're good to go.
We're good to go.
All right, good. That's good. I'm glad. Thanks.
All right, so then I'll go to item C3, schedule for the next meeting. Do we have a date for that?
Could you make a motion on,
Absolutely. For the Morro Bay Board, I would make a motion that we approve staff recommendation for item C2 outlined in item 1, where each agency and staff work cooperatively in the development of a request for proposal for facilities, master plan, and environmental review at the Morro Valley Rancho Colina site. In addition to the list of items that was discussed, I won't go through them all, between Mr. Buckingham and Mr. Livick, that included EIR, MOU, how we jointly fund, joint goals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think they've got that captured, and if we're comfortable with that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, part, that would be part of my motion, and I would need a second for more.
A second.
So we have a second by Christine. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Morro Bay, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. I don't know if you could get the same et cetera, et cetera, et cetera in your motion, but hopefully you're comfortable with the list that we discussed.
I just wanted to clarify that was 3 et ceteras.
If that's what you heard.
Okay. Normally we can, our board directs our staff without motion, but in this case I would ask for staff, our board, to repeat the motion and the second, please.
Basically, I would like to concur with the motion made by Mayor Irons on this and move forward as stated with the 3 et ceteras.
Carrie, would you like to second that, just so we can identify you as being here? Thank you very much. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Mayor Irons.
Thank you, Caillou, because I appreciate that.
So with that, we'll plan a schedule for our next meeting. Rick, do you have a date?
January 8th in Morro Bay.
So we'll make that a tentative date, and we'll see you in Morro Bay. And, again, thank AGP for their participation here. You have to stay up as late as we do, so thank you.
One closing comment?
Closing comment from the mayor.
Yes.
We have closing comment. I'll turn down to Noah Smuckler.
Yeah, I just wanted to, in the spirit of this effort, invite all of us maybe to attend the polar bear dip and jump, hold hands together, and run together into the ocean.
We'll meet you at Rancho Colina.